I'm preaching about a message, a setup for a comeback. And God has a comeback for you. And I hope some of you will preach back to me. I want to hear you say, yeah. I want to hear you say, praise God. I want to welcome those who are watching. There's some joining from on television across the Caribbean. All over wherever you're watching us, we welcome you. This is Liberty Church. The presence of God is where you are, but the presence of God is strong in this place. And we are in the midst of one of the most powerful nations in the face of the earth, but Corona has no respect. It's hitting left, right, and center, but you are protected. Can you raise your hands and shout hallelujah? As we're about to sing this song, You Unravel Me With Your Melody, I want us to pray for St. Vincent today. I want us to pray for that island. That island where it started to rumble in December, but nothing happened. And then last week, midweek, it not only rumbled, but it started to give off smoke and fire, and the report said by Friday night and Saturday into the night, the fire and the smoke and the ashes were going up in sometimes almost, in some cases, three miles, and some cases 6 miles up into the air. From all reports last night, if you were on with me with our live, I had Minister Sam Brung on, who is one of the top men trying to bring relief to the island. And he said the entire island is filled with ashes and the smell of sulfur and the fire flowing out of that volcano. Close to 30,000 have been evacuated. Carnival ships, about two of them, is taking off a few thousands into the sea. The place is only, you can only go about 22 miles away from it, and afterwards you hit the sea again. There's nowhere to run. And so I want all across the people who are watching me in the Caribbean, put in there, I'm praying for St. Lucia. Let's worship God. Hallelujah.
You unravel me
with a melody.
With a melody, you surround me with a song of deliverance
from my enemies.
From my enemies, till all my fears are gone. I'm no longer child of God.
We want the people
I'm
to know.
No longer,
a slave
to fear.
Oh, I am a child of God.
I am a child of God. From my mother's womb, you have chosen me. Love has called my name.
If there are people from St. Vincent watching us,
I've been born again.
You've been born again
into your family.
Your blood
flows through my veins. I'm no longer
child of God.
walk right through it. My fears were drowned in perfect love. Oh, you rescued me so I could stand and say, I am a child of God.
Yes, I am.
Come on and give God a praise.
A child, oh God.
I need you to give God a praise this
Hallelujah.
Morning. And so I want to speak to the people of St. Vincent. It's fearful. Humanly, it's fearful. But I want you to know that the love of God is wrapping his arms around that island. I want you to know that God will protect you in the midst of fire. I want you to know that my God, who has kept us in the corona, isn't he the same God that can keep you away from a volcano? And I pray in the name of Jesus, Father, hold your hand with that volcano. Oh God, let the people, let there be no death. Let there be no sickness and disease. Let this be a wake-up call that if my people who are called by my name shall humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then I will hear from heaven and I will deliver their sin and I will heal their land. Heal their land today. Heal it from the north to the south, from the east to the west. Let your power vibrate in that island in Jesus' name. And Father, while we're on it, we come against crime in the Caribbean. We come against murders and rapes and abuses. We come against the devil who is working overtime. Devil, take your filthy hands off of the Caribbean islands, off of Guyana, off of the entire Caribbean.
God,
in the mighty name of Jesus.
The
blood prevails.
Yes.
The blood prevails. I want people to know that God is in the business of making you set up for a comeback.
Yes, God.
You are not going to die. You're going to live.
In the name of Jesus.
In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Hallelujah. As you stand, I want to read the scripture. I'm welcoming all of you to the house of God. Come on, let's give God a praise. I welcome those of you who are watching us, wherever, country, island, territory you're watching us. Welcome to God's house. We are Liberty Church. We are 10 minutes away from Kennedy Airport. If you are in New York, we'd love you to come and be with us and join us. Many of you, over 100 something of you, are watching us by live stream. Share it to more of your people. There is a message I have for the world. God is setting you up for a comeback. God's setting you up for a comeback. Don't let anybody tell you that your time is finished. It's now started in Jesus' name. So I welcome all of you. I welcome Minister Duran from Jamaica. Him and his family are here, and we welcome them as they're here for a few weeks. Amen. And all of you who are here today, in Jesus' name. Last week, we preached about how Jesus met Peter and his disciples at the seashore. I want to read that scripture back, because here's what I want to tell you, is that when God is wanting to use you, he will find you, irrespective of what you have done. Now, John chapter 21 says, "And after these things, Jesus showed himself again to the disciples at the Sea of Tiberias, and on this wise he showed himself. And there were together Simon, Peter, Thomas, Didymus, Nathanael of Cana in Galilee, and the sons of Zebedee, the two other of his disciples. Simon Peter said unto them, Let's go fishing. They say unto him, we also go with thee. They went forth and entered into a ship immediately, and that night they caught nothing. But somebody shout, Jesus. But when the morning was now come, Jesus stood on the shore, but his disciples knew not it was Jesus. Jesus said unto them, children, do you have any meat? They answered, no. He said unto them, cast the net on the right side of the ship, and you shall find. They cast therefore, and now they were not able to draw it for the multitude of the fishes. We also, I want you to be cognizant of St. Luke, St. Vincent. If you'd like to give something, we're going to be sending some funds off to help them. Pastor Joe, isn't there everybody helping? You know, in life, if we always think someone else is going to do it, nobody will do it. We have to do our part irrespective of who is going to do it. Red Cross will show up, American government will show up, carnival ships will show up, but have you shown up? When you go before God, he'll ask you, what did you do when someone was in need? And so I want to make that appeal, put a little extra to help the people in St. Vincent. And then, of course, you see we're doing a major construction out there. You're going to have a beautiful lobby. Come on, somebody shout hallelujah. Beautiful lobby. We thank God for those who are toiling, and some of the men toiled until 4 this morning. We thank God for them. And I thank God for Jonathan and some of the and his companies who are giving this free labor to make this happen. Amen. Come on, we thank God for them. And Jonathan, Suraj, Justin, these men have come together to say, we're going to do this free for the church. And you need to thank God for that. So we're going to be purchasing the material. And if you can help us give for that, that would be good. We appreciate that very much. We are trying to make this your place. And as a matter of fact, we never closed the church during Corona. The church is being open. I'm not trying to boast, but I'm trying to say that God has kept us and he has been faithful to us. Why do you think Pastor Joe did not contract sickness during this period? We have been faithful. We've been faithful to God. God says, if you're faithful to me, I'll be faithful to you. And I'm not saying I will not contract it. I'm just saying so far he's been faithful. And as I told you last week, I don't want to be presumptuous with God. I want to say, God, thank you for your grace so far. What I can do to help protect myself, I will do it. Be very careful. The virus is up again, but God will protect. Any one of you who are in this place, God is going to protect you. Come on, you claim that right now in Jesus' name. If you're on your way to work, if he protects you at work, if you're on your way to the supermarket, he protects you there. If you're on your way to shopping, he protects you there. Don't you believe he's going to protect you on your way to church, in your church? Somebody shout hallelujah. Father, bless your word. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. You may be seated. God will never leave you where he cannot take you. When God calls you, he needs you. He wants you. God called 12 men and says, follow me and I will make you fishers of men. You see, out of the 12, one betrayed him. Didn't you know that the enemy was lurking on the cross when Jesus was on the cross and he says, it is finished? The enemy was there saying, yes, this is it. Eternity will never be the same. Salvation will never come because I have nailed the Son of the Living God on the cross. And look, he says, I'm giving up the ghost and it is finished. The enemy was not only working to make sure that Jesus stayed in the tomb. But the enemy was working on the 12 disciples. He had worked already on Judas. He needed to work on the 11. Because how many of you know, without a good team, you cannot do anything? You could have Pastor Joe, you could have Pastor Prasad, you could have Pastor Mahesh, you could have Minister Imran, you could have a great whatever. But if we do not have a team of people ready to say, count me in, we will never get to where we wanted God to take us. What the enemy was doing was working on the disciples, because a great church was about to be built. A new era was about to be started. An era of grace, an era of openness, a new dawn was coming upon the world. And for it to have succeeded, there needed to be disciples. After Jesus was resurrected, he did not need to go find an original again. He had the original. One forsook him and fled. One betrayed him and died. But one is not for you to give up. You know, when the rest of the disciples saw what Judas did, the enemy went after the rest of the disciples and he told Thomas, he says, don't believe that that man will ever rise again. He went to Peter and he says, Peter, you do not know who this man was. And Peter denied Jesus 3 times. But how many of you know, no matter what you have done, if God has called you, he is going to come for you. If God has looked for you, that means he wants you. After the resurrection, Jesus sought those who he wanted to build the church of Jesus Christ on. He says, upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail. The entire foundation he was building was about to be shaken, or so the enemy taught. But the enemy did not know that when Jesus rose from the dead, he was going to go find those who had strayed. Come on, I'm going somewhere. Sometimes you will stray. Sometimes you will fall off the wagon. Somebody shout hallelujah. Not everybody in here have been perfect and have been faithful and have been on the straight and narrow. There have been times where you fell off the wagon. But where God is, when God calls, God will find. When God finds, he will go where you are. You know the reason why Pastor Mahes, he went to the Sea of Galilee to find Peter. He didn't go there just to show him he can catch fish, because you can always catch fish. He went there to find a man who he had called 3.5 years ago. He wanted him back. Is there anybody who has strayed away from God? God is coming again to find you and to catch you and to tell you, come on back again. Number one, he not only wanted Peter to throw his net on the right side, but he needed Peter to know that Jesus wanted him back on the right side of history, on the right side of restoration, on the right side of revelation, on the right side of destination. He wanted Peter to know that I will not leave you nor forsake you. Peter, you denied me 3 times, but I want you to know that I still need you again. Has there anybody ever turned their back against God? I might be speaking to somebody who's listening to me. You have not been the perfect Christian. You have not been the perfect believer, but there is a grace inside of you that keeps telling you, you gotta return. There is a power inside of you that tells you, this way of Jesus Christ is the right way. It is the narrow way. It is the cool way. It is the perfect way. It is the prosperous way. And there are people who are sometimes gotten cold and lukewarm, but Jesus wants to restore you. He came to Peter, and Peter had now become naked. You know, sometimes when you're back to who you are, you get naked. You become that person who you were, that cussing man. And Peter now finds himself on the seashore. And as they had toiled all night, Jesus knew when to appear. You know, Jesus allowed them to toil all night before he came. Sometimes you are going to go through some situations and you're going to say, where is God? When did he show up? Where is my God? I have prayed so long. I have attended church so much. I have given so much. Where is my God? And God's allowing you to go through the night trying to catch your own fish. There are some people who are listening to me this morning. You're going through the night all alone, trying to do it in your own strength. But can I tell you, there is a Redeemer that's about to show up on Calvary's cross. He's about to show up on Galilee's side. He's about to show up on the Sea of Tiberias and say, Peter, come on again. God's setting somebody up for a comeback. Somebody who has toiled all night, he wants you to know, I need you back on the right side. Someone who has been in a bad relationship for a long time, he needs to bring you back and say, I need you back on the right side. Somebody who has been accused wrongfully of things that they did not do, and they have been living in depression, and that they have been living in darkness. Jesus wants to bring you back on the right side. Somebody who has who used to preach the word, but now your Bible is in the corner and you have not picked it up for a long time. Somebody who used to pray like Paul and kneel down and knew how to call upon God. You haven't prayed in a long time. You've toiled all night. I'm preaching to somebody who strayed away from the God and have dabbled in drugs and alcohol and tobacco and addiction and getting high and going to the wrong places. God says, you toiled all night. I'm coming for you. Is there anybody? He's about to set you up for a comeback, because when God has called you, he will not leave you. He will not forsake you. He will come where you are. Is there anybody on the Sea of Tiberias? On the Sea of Tiberias, you struggled all your life. On the Sea of Tiberias, you have sweated all night. On the Sea of Tiberias, you have struggled all night. On the Sea of Tiberias, you try to kick that addiction. You can't kick it. On the Sea of Tiberias, you try to walk in the straight and narrow. But every time you come, there is an attraction that brings you back. On the Sea of Tiberias, you're all by your side. But somebody say, Jesus, he's about to appear. He's about to show up on the seashore in the nick of time. Somebody needs God in the nick of time. Somebody who I'm speaking to needs to see Jesus on the seashore. You haven't seen Jesus in a long time. I speak to the people of St. Vincent. You have toiled for these past couple days, and the smut and the sulfur and the ashes is coming all over that island, and you're wondering where God is. You're all through the night, but joy comes in the morning. Jesus is about to show up over St. Vincent. He's about to show up over St. Lucia. He's about to show up over Jamaica. He's about to show up over Belize. He's about to show up over Guyana. He's about to show up over the Europeans and over the Africans and over India and over America and over Canada. He's about to show. Somebody say, he's about to show. Cast your net on the right side. America, put your net on the right side. Churches, put your net on the right side. Singers, put your net on the right side. Men of God, put your net on the right side. that marriage could be salvaged. Put your net on the right side. Come on, somebody. That young man who's addicted with alcohol, put your net on the right side. You could come back. God's about to bring you back. That person who says, I don't need God, turn their back on God. God's about to meet you on the Sea of Tiberias. Can I get a witness this morning? Can somebody shout? See, he could make anybody catch fish at any time. It wasn't the fish. It was he wanted to catch Peter back. Because fishes are to be eaten. Men are to do ministry. Fishes will come and go. But men and women are more precious than fishes. But he wanted to use through his presence that I could bring fishes to you. But it's not the fish. See, sometimes hear this revelation. Many times the minister Durant, many times the preachers, minister Imran, many times the apostles, they want to show that they could redo miracles. Let me touch this person and let them get healed. Let me do this, and they want to broadcast the miracles. But they don't understand. It's not the miracle itself that God gets the praise. It's when a man and a woman gets back to God. It's when he gets the praise. Hallelujah. Hey, somebody shout hallelujah. The Bible says that heaven rejoices over one sinner that repented. Is there anybody who's about to repent? Is there anybody who knows? I know that my name is written in glory. Well, I want you to know a party was held in heaven for you. Have you ever moved heaven? If you found Jesus, that means you have moved heaven. Can I ask some people today to come back to Christ so that we can move heaven, move the pillars of heaven? Let there be a dancing in heaven. Let there be a celebration in heaven. Let there be a time of rejoicing over one sinner that repented. And I got news for you, Pastor Mays. There are people in the church that need to repent. Come on, somebody. There are people in the church that need to repent. I didn't know who needs to repent, but somebody in here needs to repent. And then, no, I don't know your business, but somebody needs to repent. But he says, if you repent, I will not cast you out. He says, repent and be baptized, every one of you. If you confess your sins, 1 John 1:9, he is faithful and he is just to forgive you of your sins and to cleanse you from all unrighteousness. Here's what the church needs, Minister Imran. The church doesn't need more music. The church doesn't need more lights. The church doesn't need more noise. The church doesn't need more pews. The church doesn't need more lobbies. The church needs some men and women who will get back to the altar and repent and say, please, I'm sorry for my sins. We need some hypocrites to hit the altar and get with God. I'm sorry, but I gotta preach the old-fashioned way. Not only did he want Peter not only to throw his net on the right side, but he wanted Peter back. If you get a motor car and you say God provided this car, it's not the car that he's worried about, it's you. If you are able to get a new job, it's not the new job he's worried about. It's you. And many times, we put too much emphasis on the things of this world and not on the people that God has value in. He has value in you. Somebody say, he has value in me. He has value in you. He has value in you. You say, Pastor, I don't have a lot of education. Well, Peter did not. He had value in Peter. Pastor, I'm not the person who can talk a lot. Ask Moses. Moses tried to tell the Lord, don't let me lead. I can't talk. But when he's ready to use you, he'll make a spokesman out of you. He'll make you an orator out of you. However, if you do it yourself, you're going to fail. You toil all night, you're going to fail. You throw your net on the wrong side, you're going to fail. But when Jesus shows up, he shows up for you. Somebody says he's showing up for you. I want the people who are watching me to know, and somebody put it in there, he's showing for you. He's showing for your household. He's showing for that boy. He's showing for that girl. He's showing for your family. He's come to seek and to save those who are lost. He's still in the business of restoring you. And if you need a restoration, he's ready to give it to you. And you know something? In this corona season, he has allowed this uneasiness in the world so that people can get settled back to find him again. You remember when corona was hitting a year ago all over the place, and there wasn't any much medication, there wasn't any much help, and the ICUs were overflowing and the ventilators were over, and people were dying if they get into the hospital, and you did not know if you were going to make it. Remember those days? Those were days that he wanted you to settle in to think about eternity. Here we are a year later, and what are you doing with Christ? Here you are a year later, and you're still placing your net on the wrong side. You're still doing the wrong things. You're still after the wrong issues. And Jesus says, I called you. I'm not going to leave you. I'm not going to forsake you. How many of you believe you've been called by God? Come on, lift your hands if you're called by God. I don't know about you, but I've been called by God. Come on, somebody. I've been called by God before the foundation of the world. He called my name. And I know he's not going to leave me nor forsake me. Can I tell the people who are listening to me? He called your name. And you, even if you ran away, he's coming after you. Somebody say, he's coming after me. He's setting you up for a comeback. Because this comeback is going to be greater than the former. The latter will come better than the former. Peter was only that follower for 3.5 years. But man, when God lifted the lid and did something to him, he did something. Number two, he not only wanted Peter to throw his net on the right side, but he needed Peter to get on the right side. Number two, he wanted Peter to be restored on the right side, for he had work for him. He had said to Peter, upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail. He had a plan of restoration for Peter. Notice that night, as Jesus was led off, and they said to him, Peter, you knew that man. At the moment when the enemy was trying to destroy the church, not only destroy Christ, but destroy the disciples, the enemy was working overtime on Peter. Has the enemy ever worked overtime on you? Don't raise your hand. Has the enemy ever used you? Has the enemy ever used your mouth? Has the enemy ever used your spirit? Has the enemy ever used something? And then you look back, you say, that's not me. Peter was in that position where it was a devil took him over. Do you know there are people who devils take them over at certain times in their life? You want to know, is that she? How they behave that way? Is that him? What's coming out of his mouth? It's not him. It's the devil inside of him and her who is using to destroy that poor person. For they know that the biggest enemy that everyone has is not nobody. It's you yourself, is your own enemy. And if the enemy can use you as an enemy against you, the enemy, he has double enemy to destroy you and to kill you and to put you away. Don't be naive. He's after you. That night, as the fire was roaring and the cock crowed thrice, Peter denied Jesus. He says, I did not know that man. How could you, after walking with the master for 3.5 years, and you were in public, in Galilee, in Nazareth, in Bethany, you were there when he healed the leper, he touched the blind man, you were there, you knew him, you were standing there, you saw it with your own eyes. And now, as Jesus is led away, watch out for people who turn their backs on you when you need them in the midst. At the point where Jesus needed his disciple Peter to speak up, Peter went quiet. Sometimes the talents that you have, the enemy is going to shut it out at the moment when you needed it. Peter's talent was his spoken word. Peter could talk. But at the moment when he was asked, do you know who this man is? Peter says, no. He used the same lips to deny Jesus. Jesus goes to Calvary and he goes there and he's alone. Peter is nowhere to be seen. But yet, this is the man, this is the heart of a leader. He went after Peter. He knew that Peter had more than what Peter thought he had. Sometimes in your own life, you could challenge and question yourself, and little do you know that God believes in you more than you believe in yourself. You listen to somebody who told you you can't do this. You listen to somebody who says you'll never amount to anything. You listen to somebody who told you shut up and go in the corner. But can I tell you, Jesus is never going to push you aside. He's saying, come on to me, all ye that are labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. This is what he's saying. And so, as Peter denies him once, he then denies him twice, he then denies him thrice. Pastor Mahes, as a human being, we will say we don't want that person anymore. As a human being, we will say no more. But Jesus comes to the seashore and he says, Peter, I'll show you a miracle. But it's not the miracle. You yourself is a miracle, Peter. Did you know that you're a standing miracle right where you are? Did you know, those of you who are listening to me, you're a miracle. You should have died. Your mind should have put you in a madhouse. You should not be around anymore. But God has raised you up. The same spirit that raised Christ from the dead has quickened your spirit. Can I get an amen this morning? Can somebody shout hallelujah? Can somebody say, he came to me when I could not go to him? He came to me when I could not move to him. He came to me when I was incapacitated, when my mind was messed up, when I was on a confused state. He came to me. Can I tell you that right now, as the word of God is being preached, he's coming to you. His grace is coming to you. His mercy is coming to you. His power is coming into your life, and his convicting ability is speaking to your heart. For the word of God is quick and it's powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing and dividing asunder of both soul and spirit, and it is the discerner of the thoughts and the intents of the heart. And so he says, Peter, I got word for you. And that's why he said to Peter later on 3 times, Peter, do you love me? Last week I told you, and you can put it up there, John chapter 21 verses 15. He says, Peter, lovest thou me? And he asks this 3 times. One of the reasons he asks him three times. Peter had denied him three times. He wanted Peter to now recapitulate the denials. I love you. I love you. I love you. Sometimes we walk three steps backwards. And for us to get back to God, we need three steps forward. And then he comes to Peter and he says, you love me? Feed my lambs. Then he says, Peter, you love me? He says, feed my sheep. He says, Peter, you love me? Jesus says, feed my sheep. And I told you, lambs are easy to feed. Lambs are easy to speak with. Lambs, you could move them aside. Jesus says, be like lambs, be like little children. You know why? Do you know why many churches, and thank God for liberty, thank God for the unity, thank God for the spirit that's here. Come on, you need to give God praise. You're part of something that's special. You're part of something that's special here. But you know why, even in the midst of everything, there's fightings in churches, there's turmoil, one person wants this, one person, it's because they're still carnal. And it's also because when people are looking for their own strength, they'll mess things up. And many in churches need to be restored from carnality, need to be restored of disunity, need to be restored of disharmony, need to be restored of gossip. Come on, shout hallelujah. Tell your neighbor, I don't gossip about you. All right, that's all right. But sometimes your words will take you places that you can't come back. You can hit somebody and that punch will heal. But words don't heal in a long time. And sometimes God has a way. He'll deal with us. He dealt with Peter and he says, Peter, I'm about to restore you. Throw the net on the right side. Somebody, God's setting you up. Throw your net on the right side. I'm about to restore you to your ministry. I'm about to restore you to your family. I'm about to restore you to the peace of God. I'm about to restore you. Is there anybody who is not going to go through this situation? A fear. You know, a lot of people have lived in fear. The vaccines are here and now they're sick, but you got the variants. A lot of people living in fear. They hear this one got sick, this one got this, and this one suddenly died. Can I tell you, you can't live in fear? Can I tell you that God's about to restore a sound mind over your life? Can I tell you God's about to give you a good health and a good strength? Can I tell you that God's about to restore a good sleep at night? Can I tell you that God's about to restore what the canker worm took from you? He's about to tell you, throw it on the right side. Get it on the right side. Move on the right side. Worship on the right side. Talk on the right side. Give God praise on the right side. Stop doing things on the wrong side. He's the great restorer. He is setting you up for a comeback. Somebody whose girlfriend ran out from you. Boyfriend say he don't want you anymore. Husband says, no more. I got a new girl. And watch out for them men who got new girls. Their eyes need to be sanctified. Their spirit needs to be tamed. And only when Jesus comes to Sea of Galilee, you know, your Sea of Galilee might be your bedroom. Your Sea of Galilee might be Liberty Church right here. Your Sea of Galilee might be while you're driving. God will speak to you somewhere and come to you. God's about to come to somebody and he's about to minister to you. And I'm about to tell you, the church does not need to have fear. You need to have no fear. Have no fear against fear. Fear will kill you. Rise up and say, if God be for me, who can be against me? Number three, he not only wanted to feed them and let them have a meal with the fish from the sea, but here is what he said. He says in verse, put it up there, chapter 21 and verses 11. Jesus has heavenly food to give you for the ministry that he's about to give you. Regular bread and fish from the sea ain't gonna cut it. You need some heavenly food. Simon Peter went up and drew the net to the land and brings it with the fishes, 150 and three. And for all they were, the net was never broken. Let me just tell you, your life, that's the net. When God's about to pour his grace upon you, it will not be broken. When God's about to give you his love, it will not be broken. You've had too many broken loves. You've had too many broken promises. You've had too many broken situations. A lot of brokenness. Brokenness in the home. Brokenness in your relationship. Brokenness in your integrity. Brokenness in your sincerity. Brokenness. You can't be who you are. But when God mends you, he will put you in a net that will not be broken. It will be a place of safety. Somebody shout safety. I'm in the arms of God. Safe in the arms of God. The net is not broken. The net is not broken because when God pours his love, the love cannot go out. The love has to stay in. When God pours his grace is sufficient, for the net that you have is ready to take it. Anybody has a net this morning that's not going to get broken? I cast my net before you, God, and I say, fill my cup. Fill it up, Lord. Come, oh Lord, fill it with grace. And now, number three, verses 12. Jesus then says unto them, come and dine. And none of the masters knew who he was. And they asked him, who art thou? Knowing he was the Lord. Scripture says, go up to verses 9. And as soon, verse 9, this is heavenly food. And as soon as they were come to land, they saw, Pastor Mahes, on the land, it wasn't the fish that Peter caught. On the land, they saw fire with coals, and fishes were already there, and bread. Where did it come from? It wasn't the 153 fishes that were taken out to the sea. Peter was now hauling that in. Fish was on the fire. Bread was toasting. Where did it come from? Jesus did not go to the grocery store and buy it. You know where that came from? That came from heaven. Come on, somebody. You know when Jesus is ready to use you, he's not only coming to you, but he's coming to nourish you. Come on, somebody. Oh, I feel God upon somebody. He's not only coming to tell you, come, Peter. I need you to cast your net on the right side. But when he is ready to use you, he'll not only bring you back to the shore, but he'll feed you with heavenly bread. He'll feed you with heavenly food. He'll feed you with divine anointing. You know why he had to feed Peter? Because there was a great job for Peter to do. There was a great job for Peter to do. And I don't have the time to tell you, but he was about to feed Peter. He was about to feed Thomas. He was about to feed John. He was about to feed Zebedee. He was about to feed James. Because these bunch of men were going to turn the world upside down. They were going to take Jerusalem for Jesus. They were going to take Bethany for Jesus. They were going to take Antioch for Jesus. They were going to take Pentecost for Jesus. And when God is about to feed you, Minister Mahes, you will never be the same. You may need Guyana bread again after you take it. But when you take the bread of Jesus Christ, he says, I am the bread of life. When you take my food, you will never thirst nor hungry again. I gotta tell you, I gotta tell you that when he fed them with the bread and the fish that came from heaven, I believe it was important. See, the last time I remember this happened was when Elijah was under the juniper tree. And you heard me preach about it. And an angel came and woke him up twice and says, Elijah, you got a big job to do. I need you to drink this water, and I need you to eat this bread. And the Bible says Elijah woke up with a holy strength, and he walked for 40 days and 40 nights. God's about to give you a 40 day and a 40 night restoration. He's setting you up for a comeback that nobody in this world can give to you. He's about to say, come and dine. Somebody needs to come and dine. When you come and dine, you will not be afraid of the crowd. When you come and dine, you'll not be afraid of corona. When you come and dine, you'll not be afraid of hospital. When you come and dine, you'll not be afraid of what man thinks about you. You stand bold. You stand firm. You stand on the word. You says, come hither, nor thither. I am with Jesus. Somebody shout hallelujah. Somebody shout hallelujah. I say to the nations of this world, I say to the people of this world, there is fish and bread on the seashore. Come and dine. Pastor Mahesh, after they did the seashore, come and dine. There is nothing that says, Minister Imran, that the 153 fishes that they pulled from the sea, that they cooked it and ate it, that was for tomorrow. Somebody shout excess. When God's ready to help you, he'll do excess for you. How many of you got some excess in your cupboards? Raise your hands. During corona, you didn't know where the food was going to come from. You didn't know where the bread was going to come from. You didn't know where the butter was going to come from. You didn't know where the sugar was going to come from. You didn't know where the money was coming from. But look what God has done. But God, he turned you around. He put you up. He gave you more than enough. He's setting you up for a comeback. Somebody setting you up for a comeback. Can I tell the church, we are back. We ain't going back. We are back. We ain't going back. He says, come and dine. After that, that was about the 7th or the 10th day after he was resurrected. About 30 days later, Peter is in the upper room praying. And the disciples were praying for the Holy Ghost. And the Bible says, and on the day of Pentecost, where they were all in one accord, in one place, the doors of the post started to shake, and clouds started to cave, and they were filled with the Holy Ghost. Is there anybody who has got, come and dine, come and dine? You're about to get filled, and you're not turning back. You're about to get filled, and you're about to change the world. Can I tell the congregation, we're about to change the world. We're about to change the world. Can I tell the congregation? Can I tell your country? Can I tell your city? Can I tell your pastor? Stop hiding in a corner. Come back. Lead your people. They need to be led. You're about to change the world. We're making ministries open to liberty. We're making cell groups open to liberty. We're making people to get into the word and study the word. Come, God's about to feed you with fish and bread. You're about to come back. Before corona, there was none of that opportunity. Now, during corona, after corona, you're going to find the time to start dining on the word. Somebody say, I'm back. Set me up. I'm coming back. And this time, when I come back, I am talking to five. I'm talking to thousands. Come on, somebody. On the day of Pentecost, they were filled with one accord, and 17 nations were there at Jerusalem. And Peter stood up, and they says, there must be wine in him. He must have some wine, because the way he's talking like if he's not Peter. When the Holy Ghost comes upon you, you won't talk like you talk. You won't act like you act. You won't walk like you walk. You're now a changed man. You're a changed woman. Oh, we need some Holy Ghost, Spirit-filled men and women in the churches these days who can say, I'm filled with the Holy Ghost. You don't need the pinny winny, willy willy, chooky chooky, surface surface. That'll get you nowhere. We need to go right into the Holy Ghost. We need to stand up boldly like Peter and says, I'm not drunken with wine. I'm drunken with the Holy Spirit. I'm not drunken with wine. I'm drunken. You need to give your life to Jesus. And 3,000 were added to the church that day. And then another 5,000 were added. And then Jesus, Peter and John were on the door, on the way to the temple in Jerusalem. And they came to the temple door. And a man that was crippled from his mother's womb, who was begging alms, and says, Peter, have mercy upon me. Give me some coin, give me silver and gold. And Peter, filled with the Holy Ghost, this is the Peter who now took the bread and the water, bread and the fish from off Galilee's table. Somebody need to say, and this thing here has not been preached too often, but it's the bread and the fish on Galilee's table where Jesus prepared it from heaven, that give Peter and the disciples that extra heavenly unction. There is about to go come upon you a heavenly bread and fish that's about to be poured out upon you this morning. Somebody shout hallelujah. And as the man says, can you give me some silver and some gold? See, Minister Mays, he's not interested in the silver and gold. He's interested in the man. We're not interested in your money. We're interested in you. Come on, you need to give God praise. God's not interested in your money. He's interested in you. But when you find interest in him, you'll give. When you find interest in him, you'll worship. When you find interest in him, out of your bowels of compassion, you will show mercy. Nobody got to prompt you, but get you fixed. Fix you. He didn't fix the money. He fixed the man. He says, silver and gold have I none, but such as I have, give I unto thee. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise and walk. And the man stood up and was walking and leaping and praising God. Stand to your feet and let's give God praise. Come on and give God praise.
Hallelujah.
He set you up.
Hallelujah.
For a comeback. How many of you are coming back? I raise your hands all across the balcony, all across this place. I'm coming back. Bread and fish on the fire. Hallelujah. I'm by Galilee. I'm about to receive the incorruptible, insurmountable, immutable, irrevocable power of the Holy Ghost. I'm about to receive it right now. All across the airways, all across the country, all across homes, all across moms and dads, that God's about to set you up a comeback. Father, in the name of Jesus, as everyone lift their hands, even home, everyone who's lifting their hands, I pray a comeback. I pray a comeback. A sweeter comeback, a more powerful comeback. I pray deliverance over every hand lifted up. Every hand lifted up at the homes. Every hand lifted up who's watching. Every hand lifted up. That mama who's praying for her boy. That daddy who needs to get back home. That child that's crying that needs love. I'm coming back. Say, Father, please forgive me. Come into my life. I'm by the seashore. I'm ready to eat. Bring your fish and bread. Put it on the fire. I'm about to experience you. Everything in my life that is wrong, that is unhealthy, unholy, impure, things that have come out from my lips, restore me. Give me the joys of my salvation again. Come into my life all across this place. A sign of repentance as we sing. Sing.
I'm coming back to the heart of worship. It's all about you. It's all about you, Jesus. I'm sorry, Lord, for the things I've been doing. It's all about you. It's all about you, Jesus. I'm coming back to the heart of worship. And it's all about you. And it's all about you, Jesus. I'm sorry.
Service, we're going to pray with our dear sister, and if there's anyone else that needs prayers, give unto God. Thank you for your tithes, your offering. You want to give extra for St. Vincent, you want to give extra for helping us with the lobby. Thank you very much. May God bless you. May His face shine upon you. In the second service, my dad is going to do a few minutes on this text, so you're going to hear him. Tune in at 11:30, we have another service, our second service. May God bless you. Thank you for being here. Worship God. Come give your tithes. Thank you very much. Come on, let's pray.